Now we'll move on to item seven, and who's taking the lead? Christina?
Yeah, I can start.
Okay.
So item seven, what we have today is a possible compensation enhancement for one of our members that recently retired. And as a part of AB 340 and PEPRA, the board created a policy regarding the assessment and determination of compensation enhancements under Government Code Section 31542, which was effective January 1st, 2013. Part of that section of the law says the board shall establish a procedure for assessing and determining whether an element of compensation was paid to enhance a member's retirement benefit. And to comply with that law, the board created the CICERA policy. Part of that policy has a staff review and assessment. So with respect to all retirement applications with an effective date of retirement on or after January 1st, 2013, the board directed CICERA staff to review all compensation that was included within the calculation of the member's final compensation. The purpose was to make an initial assessment as to whether any item of compensation included in that final compensation was paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit. So in following this policy, through our review, we did find that there was a member who at first assessment may have enhanced their compensation for their final average salary. And I'll let Tim Hoppe go through the specifics of the situation.
Okay, so for some background, on September 25th, 2013, the San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District Board of Directors approved an employee health insurance opt-out plan. The plan offers benefit-eligible employees $300 per month for declining district-provided medical coverage. The plan is available to active members as well as retirees. In October 2013, the district contacted CICERA regarding the pensionability of the monthly payment. And at that time, the advice that was provided was for PEPRA members, the item is excluded since it is in excess of base pay. For classic legacy members, the item is included in compensation earnable under CICERA's current compensation policy. However, CICERA's determination as to whether CICERA's determination as to include pay items for legacy members is without prejudice to its rights under law to determine at any time that any included pay items or any portion thereof should be excluded from the member's retirement compensationable salary for reasons including but not limited to that it was paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit. Mr. Colon made an election to participate in the opt-out program in October of 2015 with an effective date of January 1, 2016. He made an election to continue participation in 2016 for 2017. Prior to January 1, 2016, Mr. Colon was enrolled in the employer-provided health care coverage since his hire, which was in February, benefit eligibility, February 1996, and then he enrolled in the district retiree medical plan effective April 1, 2017. On March 16, 2017, Mr. Colon submitted a service retirement application with a March 30th retirement date to CICERA. In processing the application, that it was identified that he had received the medical opt-out pay for the period of January 1, 16 to March of 17 for a 15-month period. Based on the limited period of time that Mr. Colon participated in his program and before retirement, information CICERA had received from San Ramon Valley, CICERA made the initial assessment that Mr. Colon's health insurance opt-out pay is an enhancement and should be excluded from his retirement compensation under the Contra Costa County's Employee Retirement Association Board of Retirement's policy regarding assessment and determination of compensation enhancement. And if you may recall, in June of this year, staff presented we talked about compensation enhancements, and we reviewed the steps staff goes through when these are identified. So the compensation policy and what staff follows is, one, is whether the item of compensation was earned within the period which final compensation is to be calculated. Second, whether the compensation exceeds the member's base pay, and if so, whether the earnings code reported are retirement compensable. Three, any other factors that cause staff to believe that an item of compensation included in final compensation was paid to enhance a member's retirement benefit. And last, four, information and explanation provided by the member and the employer in response to Cesera's request as to the facts and circumstances concerning an item of compensation that the staff may have been paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit. Mr. Colon was, and San Ramon Valley were notified of Cesera's initial assessment that the health insurance opt-out pay that he received was considered a compensation enhancement on August 4th, 2017, and that it would be excluded from his final compensation, or the final average salary, or the FAS. Mr. Colon and San Ramon were provided the opportunity to provide information to Cesera to consider that may support the inclusion of this compensation. The Benefits Communications Network drafted a response on Mr. Colon's behalf. The San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District provided a response outlining the timing of Mr. Colon's benefit elections, which has been provided to you. When a member's compensation increases, the employee and employer contributions to Cesera also increase. In this situation, the increase in contributions does not cover the increased cost of the retirement allowance. In this case, the increase in contributions was only for 15 months, but the retirement allowance is based on the increased compensation multiplied by more than 30 years of service. Mr. Colon had 30.3092 years of service included when we calculated his retirement benefit. The amount of the health insurance opt-out compensation the retirees received was $300 per month, or $3,600 during the 12-month final average salary period. Mr. Colon's initial calculated lifetime retirement benefit, excluding the opt-out compensation, is $11,853. If the compensation is included from the medical opt-out, his lifetime benefit increases to $12,122. And this is all before cost of living increases and so forth. The difference in the amount is $268.67 per month. It's the recommendation for the board to consider and take possible action to determine whether the health insurance opt-out pay differential that was received by James Colon is considered a compensation enhancement and should be excluded from his final average salary.
Did council have anything else to add at this time? Okay.
No.
Did Will, were you raising your hand?
I will be. I wanted to see what David had to say, though.
Okay. They don't, so you have the floor.
I have a couple questions. So, Tim, just to confirm that this was this was a benefit that the employees received, and can you confirm for me that the employees that, or the members that surrounding his retirement application, it was pensionable for them?
Mr. Colon is the first individual with the health care, this opt-out compensation to retire from Cesera.
Since 2013?
Correct. There are 10 individuals that elected to participate in the program. Four of them enrolled in the program November 1st, 2013, right after it was approved.
Okay.
Four enrolled January 1, 2014. Mr. Colon was in for 16, and one other person from July of 15.
Okay. And those members that enrolled in that, it is considered a pensionable pay code that's being receiving contributions for that?
Yes. It's under the definition and the opinion provided by Cesera. it is considered and contributions are taken from it.
Okay. And then on the chart, one thing I just wanted to make that was a little bit is it shows that Mr. Colon's option to elect was January 1, but that would actually be October 9th. He elected, right? And then it was actually applied January 1. So
right.
The bar chart would actually go back 3 months, technically, right? Because the date, if you use that, the election date.
Right. The election date is tied to the open enrollment period under CalPERS.
Okay. What are the maybe Mr. Colon or somebody from San Ramon could answer this, but what are the, in terms of the retiree enrollment options for the retiree health care plan, can you only enroll when you are retiring, or can you enroll later? It's a question I had that popped up when I heard this whole thing. Meaning, because there's a retiree medical health component plan, right? That's part of it. Is it, yes. Can you only opt in before you retire at the time of application? Or could you opt in, for example, 10 years after you retire? I was just curious that.
My understanding is that you can enroll at any time, but I would actually defer that to San Ramon Valley for response, and someone is here that could answer that question.
Okay. Why do you ask that?
I'm just curious, because that was pointed out that he enrolled in the health plan, right, at the time of application. And I was curious to know, can somebody enroll afterwards, or do you have to enroll at the time of application for retirement?
Okay.
Yeah. And then there were open enrollment changes in January 13 and January 15. Were those of any significance?
Our understanding is those were health plan changes where you move from one program, from Blue Cross to Blue Shield, Blue Cross, Kaiser, and so forth, those two elections.
And does CISERA have a disability application related to the attachment C that's mentioned?
Yes, we do have an application on file.
For service connected?
Yes.
Okay. So in terms of one thing I want to make just a comment on, in terms of in the fire service, I can speak for myself, is not all the time do members know about, new options that are offered to employees in terms of like 2013. I've seen in the fire service where people learn about a benefit that's offered by the fire district, and I'm not with San Ramon, but I've just seen this in the fire service that they don't necessarily know about it right away. And I'm not saying that happened with Mr. Colon or not, but sometimes people learn about things and then opt in at a later date. That's all I want to say. So that's all I have for now for comment or question.
I have a quick question to Tim or anyone else on the panel. $300 is in lieu of the district paying health insurance premiums. Health insurance premiums would not be part of compensable compensation for pension purposes. Mm-hmm. So it just strikes me that it makes no particular sense that if you stay in the program, the amount paid, which is in almost all cases likely to be far greater than $300, is not included, but the $300 would be. So I'm looking for the rationale on why that would be pensionable.
I can answer that one. 20 years ago, the California Supreme Court said that value that you get in kind is not pensionable, but value that you get in cash is pensionable if it's regularly paid. Doesn't make a lot of logical sense.
No.
If a firefighter on his first day of work is issued a uniform that costs $100, not pensionable value to that firefighter. If you give them $100 and say go down to the store down the street and buy the uniform for $100, it's pensionable. So said the California Supreme Court.
Thank you. Now I understand.
go ahead. Tim, do we have any record of the member attending any counseling sessions, either group or personal?
Yeah, I can't say he attended a counseling session, but he did have estimates prepared and requested in January of 14.
And in that January 14 one, did he select a retirement date or potential retirement date?
Yeah, the dates that were requested were March 31 of 14 and December 31st of 14 in the estimate request.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we're wondering, because of the timing of this, he received this just a little more than a year before he actually retired, so that raises the question of, was this a planned action, right? So looking at the letter from Benefits Communication Network, that's attachment C. First of all, is this an advocacy group, or what is Benefits Communication Network? How are they involved in?
And we do have, as part of the agenda, an opportunity for the member, so you could ask that question of the member, because that's what they provided on his behalf. They're just a representative for the member.
Okay. So they argue that he actually had plans on retiring in 2019, and if he had done that, then that would be like more like a three-year span. So is that less of a red flag for us? And if he actually just happened to retire sooner than he intended to by a couple of years, I kind of lean towards giving that statement some credit. Would lean towards allowing this to be mentioned above.
Well,
so how, I guess, how old was Mr. Colon in, I guess I can do the math myself. How old are you, sir?
52.
Okay, thank you. So a lot of times, and I'm just addressing the inferences that are coming up here, in terms of the retirement application of January 14, let's see, you put two dates down, March of 14 and December of 14, so you're well within the age of, you've been 49. For that retirement application, right?
But if he's going to testify, let's get him to the microphone.
Just have the listed name so that they'll give you some numbers. That's all it was for. I had no intention of retiring in 2014.
But let's have that on the microphone.
So, yes. So at this point, it might be good to transition into 7B, and since I think a lot of the questions now are of the member. Mm-hmm. Sir, did you want to speak? At the microphone.
First time here.
Absolutely.
My last. Easier to hear.
And if you can just
bear with me, if I'm a little ornery today, I do not sleep well. I'm currently waiting my second surgery for my back.
For the people that are off mic, I mean outside, can we identify the speaker?
Yeah. Yeah. Could you just introduce yourself?
James Colon, retired fire captain, San Ramon Valley Fire.
Thank you.
Anyways, have you guys read this letter from Benefits? Okay, clearly states, I had no intention of retiring this early. I'm only 52 years old. I love my job. I intended to stay at least another 2 years. It just seems to me just ludicrous what's gone on here and all the time invested in this when it could have been spent a lot better elsewhere. I'm still waiting my disability approval from CSERA, which is going on 8 months now. So, you know, there's no doubt it's going to be approved, but, you know, once again, it seems like a lot of time and effort was put into this that could have been placed elsewhere. I was looking through some of these things that were sent to me from CSERA and Tim Hoppe. One item C here, legal authority under 31542. Compensation that a member was entitled to receive pursuant to a collective bargaining agreement, which is what that was incorporated into. Shall be considered compensable earnable and shall not be deemed to have been paid to enhance a member's retirement benefit. I think that sums up, along with what happened to me. I had an injury, had surgery. I was off right there when that was open enrollment. I didn't know about the plan. I was too busy trying to get myself better and ended up having to get surgery. And now I'm facing a second surgery. So it's a little frustrating. You know, these enhancement things where you could talk about, I paid in so much. They took money out of my check. As soon as that $300 started coming into me, that I saved the fire district money by not taking the benefit because I got on my wife's medical. That money was taxed, and it paid into CSERA. There's often times where money's paid in, guys promote late in their career. You could do the same argument. You promote to a higher ranking position, you're not paying in to the system nearly as long. But that's just the way that the system works. And some guys paying a lot more and staying the same rank. It's just, that's the way it's designed, and I have no control over that. When I did this, you know, I'm just like, yeah, I can make an extra $300, save the district some money. So it was, seemed like a win-win. And I was told at the time it is a pensionable item.
Can I ask you a question about this? At the time that you decided to go with the $300 in lieu fee, were you and your wife both individually insured? Was she insured on her own plan? You insured on yours?
I believe so, but
okay,
she was... She has, she works with the school district, so
okay.
She has medical insurance.
Okay, so she has medical, so what I'm wondering is, was there a reason you went to your wife's plan? Was it any cheaper than what you would be getting?
No, it was to get the $300.
It's a
business decision.
No, well, that's what I'm trying to understand, because would you automatically be covered by your wife's health plan under
no,
the school
she
district?
Has to add me.
She has to add you, yes. And did it cost you more than $300?
It cost, we had to pay, she had to pay a higher premium.
She had to pay a higher premium, yeah. But how did that compare to, and I don't, because I don't know your contract with San Diego Valley
either.
Fire, were you paying anything toward your own health insurance?
Yeah, we were required to pay, when I was on the San Ramon Valley, it was like 8%, and it depended on which insurance you chose. If you chose the most expensive one, your copay was higher. If you chose the least expensive, it was lower.
So I don't know
those numbers.
So what I'm trying to get at, because I think we're in open enrollment, families go through this right now. Was there a discussion with your wife? Let's go on your plan because the money will save. Your premiums are going to be lower than if I stay with San Ramon Valley Fire. Was that part of a discussion at all? Meaning?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure I understand.
Well, what I'm trying to understand is, why did you go with the in lieu? Yes, you were going to get $300. Was that going to lower your cost of medical premiums in your household?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So the money that you, that being paid $300, but then paying a higher premium to the school district was better than you continuing to pay your San Ramon Valley premium and your wife paying her school district premium?
Yeah, without looking at the numbers, I would say yes, but I can't say 100%.
Well, if I may.
It makes sense.
So why then did you switch once you retired?
When I retire, the retirees are not required to pay a copay, so the district covers 100% of your medical insurance.
Okay,
makes
sense.
So it's, you know, it's a nice benefit.
Sorry, Candace, did you have anything? No, I
was just trying to, I guess the only other question I would have is, were you advised by anybody, whether it be fire district employees or CSERA employees, of you should go with this $300 because that's going to be pensionable, whereas continued to pay your health premium
it's
won't
It's common be knowledge that it's pensionable, just like if I promote to captain, that increase is pensionable. If I get on the rescue team, that increase is pensionable. It's common knowledge. It's not
okay.
Any mystery.
Okay.
One of the things I wanted to just address in terms of the inferences is what I was asking your age around the time of the retirement application is I know very well firsthand, I haven't done it myself, but a lot of members go in when they approach the age of 48 or, you know, 49 to look and to see, to
exactly.
get an estimate.
Get a snapshot of where you're at.
And see what's going on. So I wanted to address that as an inference that there was some type of pre-plan. I think
no.
almost every member goes in.
Yeah.
And we could speak to that probably from the benefit side is that a lot of members come in around the age of 49 and 50.
I think you would be wise to do that. It gives you an idea where you're at. And, you know, everybody's situation and how they value things is completely different from one person to the next, you know. You've got guys that stick around, you're wondering, why are they still here? Because they love the job. It's not for the money.
What is this Group Benefits Communication Network?
It's a agency that kind of like when you come in and talk to CICERA, you talk to them, they kind of help you look at your numbers, see where you're at, help you decide, you know, whether you can afford to retire. And they're like a finance 8 companies, so they give you ideas. As far as I understand, I don't really know a whole lot about it other than when I was confronted with this dilemma here, I was advised to speak to a lady that deals with these issues from Benefits Communications and said, you know, she'll help you out with this because, you know, you want all the facts straight before they do this to you or try to do this to you.
As long as the letters come up, I had a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I understood some of the comments that were included in Ms. Hale's letter from this organization.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you could help me out.
Sure.
On one paragraph, it indicated that you returned to modified duty on September of 2014. I have no doubt that that's correct. So you were back working, modified
yeah.
duty.
Yeah,
September.
You go on a 40-hour week because you're recovering from surgery. Right. You cannot be online.
Right, okay, so, but the point was, you're back on modified duty 2014.
Mm-hmm. Late 2014, yeah.
Okay, September, yeah. Due to his injury, he was more concerned with recovering and returning to work full-time, I get that, but missed the open enrollment period for his spouse to add for a medical. It's not always true, but open enrollment typically is in the October-November timeframe of
mm-hmm.
the year, so that would have followed your return to modified duty. So can I ask you how you missed it? Because it wasn't the fault of...
I just wasn't paying attention. I just didn't even cross my mind to do it.
Okay, so I mean, but that's not a suggestion that you were somehow prohibited or...
No, that wasn't, no.
Enrolling
no.
during that period of time. You just
no,
missed it.
Doing a lot of, you know, I was on a 40-hour week, doing a lot of rehab.
Right.
Every other day or so. My goal was to get in condition to come back to work and to get my injury rehabbed.
So, but I just want to make sure we don't draw any unfair inference
sure.
that it was through some action of CICERA
no,
or
no.
misleading information that somehow you were prevented from exercising your rights under open enrollment. Okay. Another question on the last paragraph. I'm not sure I understand the... You didn't write this. I understand mm-hmm. that. But I'm not sure the conclusion that Ms. Hale is drawn by somehow suggesting that the position that CICERA has taken is a violation of the ADA Act. That seems like a reach to me, I'm sorry. But that's, you didn't write
I
it.
I didn't write it.
So do you agree, do you think it's a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act?
I don't know, but it's a violation of me, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, that's a different act, but
yeah.
all right.
Mr. Chair, are we allowed to ask a question from here?
Yes, you are.
Great. So, Mr. Colon, my name is Scott Gordon. I'm dialing in remotely with two other trustees today, and we've been listening intently. I wanted to follow on Mr. Holcomb's question and just try to understand a couple of points. You're not contending, as I understand it, that a benefits counselor told you that $300 a month was pensionable. Am I right?
I'm not sure what he's asking. Can you repeat it?
Sure.
It's hard to hear you, first of all.
Okay, sorry. I'll try to speak up. Can you hear me now?
Go ahead.
All right. So I'm trying to understand your position, and what I want to make or try to get clear on, are you contending that a benefits counselor from Sisera advised you at any time that the $300 a month was pensionable?
From Sisera, it's in the policy. It's common knowledge that that money is pensionable, and they take money out of your paycheck. So whenever you get a pay raise, or you get on a rescue team, or you get promoted, or you do this, once you get that money added to your salary, a certain percentage of it comes out of my paycheck and goes into Sisera's coffers. Everybody knows that, and everybody knows it's pensionable if you're a legacy member.
Yeah, and my question specifically was that that's not something you were told by a benefits counselor in your counseling session. Am I correct?
I would say so. I don't recall being told that. You mean like when I came in on 2014 and talked to a Sisera counselor?
Yes.
No, it was not told to me.
So, and when you came in 2014 and talked to the Sisera benefits counselor, did you indicate a date of retirement that was in 2014 or 2015 at that time?
No, I didn't. They may have had to put one down to do the numbers, but I did not indicate when I was planning on retiring because I did not know then. I plan to work, you know, I plan to do, get late into my 50s, you know, or not late into my 50s, but somewhere around 53, 54, maybe even 55 was my plan to work that long.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a couple questions, and I know you've stated you don't know all the numbers. So your plan with San Ramon Valley, your wife wasn't on it. Is that correct?
No, she was on it, I believe.
So it was two-party?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife and my kids were on it.
Okay, so it was...
Oh, I'm sorry, so you had dual coverage then? She was, because she was also covered with the school district?
No, she was off of hers and on mine, and then I was on hers and off
gotcha.
Mine.
Okay, thank you.
And you had to pay 8% of this three-party plan? Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe. 8%? Yeah.
So, Ann or Christina, how much, I don't necessarily, well, if you don't mind me asking, was it Kaiser or no?
You know, I think these are questions are intrusive. It's HIPAA
that's
stuff.
Fair. Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I'm trying. I have information in front of me, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to get fully informed.
Yeah.
So
that I think
can make
it's
a decision.
Really beside
I'm
the
not
point.
Trying to get into your medical business.
Yeah.
So I'll just ask generically. Mm-hmm. Kaiser three party. Do we have a rough estimate of what the current rates are? 19 something. Okay. So. So we're talking, hold on one moment, please. So you were having to pay $152 in medical. So the school district, what do they offer?
I couldn't tell you. My wife handles that.
So... Is it possible that they, or is it likely that they also just offer full family coverage, or is it individual and you have to pay something more for dependents?
I don't know.
Okay. Because I'm trying, knowing what medical is and some school districts that I'm familiar with, full family coverage for free is generally not offered. And I don't want to ask what school district, but if I'm having to hear your testimony, and I'll take it at face value that you paid less than $450
to the school district a month. It'd be helpful if your wife was here, but she's not. So that's what I'm struggling with, is to think that the school district, you know, gave you full family coverage for $450 or less. Just, again, off of knowledge of certain school districts. I'm struggling with that.
At the time, I don't think it was full family because my son's in the Marine Corps. He was covered there. That's fine.
That's where I'm at. I'm struggling to see how the money worked mm-hmm. to where it was more advantageous to be with them as opposed to San Ramon Valley. And if I can't make that connection, I have a hard time reconciling that this may not be tied to your FAS period.
Here's what I'd like to keep the thoughts to. One, I was not going to retire. I was forced to because of an injury. Okay, so I would have been in at least another 2 years. Two, when we start allowing government employees to look into my personal life and start making arbitrary determinations based on whatever's swimming around in their head and making a lot of negative assumptions, we're going down a slippery slope. It should never be allowed.
Dr. McDonald?
Whether I sell my vacation when I retired, sold 112 hours, it's pensionable. I could have done that only my last year. You know, there's just a lot of different things out there. Bottom line is, it's a pensionable item. And I paid for it.
So, yeah, I mean, the question of about the 300 and whether or not that makes, what kind of difference that makes, it, I think, brought up a good point that there's a premium that he paid for his own health insurance through the fire district. Right? And instead, when he went to receive the 300, the value of that was that he was no longer paying that premium, plus he got 300 in cash.
Yeah, that's where my 450.
Yeah, so that makes...
Less the increase on his wife's policy.
Right. But still,
those are the
financial decision, if that makes sense to me.
I just want to say that I have to agree with the member speaking today that the retirement board should not be looking at family or personal decisions of based off the home budget accounting. I mean, the benefit is offered in lieu of, and the employee opted for it. We should be looking at what the facts are of this case, which is he was on workers' comp, he missed the open enrollment, so be it, and he opted to take it, and he had no plan to retire, according to everything that we're seeing, including a disability service-connected disability application in 2017. So, I don't think that this has been paid and offered to all the members as a benefit. They're paying retirement contributions on it. The employer knows that this benefit's gone out. I do not think it was paid to enhance the member's benefit. I don't believe that the member improperly increased it. It was an option that the member took. And, I mean, he clearly has evidence, including a service-connected disability and medical records, showing that he essentially has been, forced to retire almost because of medical reasons.
It was forced to retire.
So
I could not stay.
Yeah.
I ran out of disability time. You have to retire.
Yeah. So I think that the member should continue to receive this in his retirement. Because it's offered, it's paid by the employer. Everyone knew about it, including Cicera, indicating to the employer that this is a pensionable item. All the employees do know that it's pensionable, and I can tell you that firsthand. When you're looking at a paycheck, you want to make sure your withdrawals are correct. So you know, like I know my uniform allowance, like Harvey mentioned earlier, is a pensionable. It's included in my pension.
So I agree with that, but. It's a problem we have to deal with is that when something is broadly known to be pensionable and is encouraged by the employers, like, hey, you know, if you take this, you'll save us some money, and plus this extra amount is pensionable. And then we try to apply changes or from PEPRA to legacy employees. You know, you have some situations where one individual does something very sneaky, and that's an obvious manipulation to try and enhance their benefit. But when you have something that's just kind of a common practice, and that's encouraged by the employer, you know, where do we take that? And so
Based off the questions that I've been hearing today, I think that we should approach all the members that have this in lieu benefit and ask them dollar by dollar, why did you make this decision? Because that's where this board is going.
I disagree.
No,
at least I, for one member, am not going in that direction at all. It doesn't matter to me why he made the decision that he made, whether or not it cost him more, cost him less. He happened to have volunteered that it was a good business decision. I happen to agree. That's why employers do typically offer that sort of thing. And if he had the other cover available.
Todd, clarification from Jerry after Jerry's done.
Well, okay. Wait. Jerry Holcomb's talking. Jerry, hold on a second.
So,
yeah, after he's done, I want to talk.
You're next in line.
Okay, ahead, so the question for me is a lot narrower. Whether or not he made these decisions on the basis of his own personal situation is his own personal decision. I have no problem with that, no concern about that whatsoever. I'm taken by the fact that, at least in Mr. Hoppe's memo, and I take his word for this, that this district, which happens, seems to me, a lot with employers, contacted Cicera to determine, after they made the decision, gee, we better check and find out if this is pensionable. I mean, it looks as if districts do that a lot. It had nothing to do with Mr. Colon's decision, but this is a district that applied this policy, made it available to employees, and then made contact a month later to Cicera to determine whether or not it was pensionable. So there must have been some question in their mind about whether or not it was pensionable. So to claim that it was widely understood to be pensionable, everyone understood it was pensionable, I think the facts don't prove that. And it suggests here that they got information that basically said for PEPRA members, it was not, clearly, and for legacy members, it might not be.
No, it says it legacy members it is, PEPRA not. It's clear. Those are objective facts. He's using subjective stuff that cannot be proven ever either way.
So I don't think it's accurate to suggest that the board is slipping down this slope into somehow discussing people's individual personal decisions, because we're not. At least I'm not.
He is.
No, I disagree. If you read all this information, it does not suggest that this you've been singled out because of personal decisions that you made. At least not in my estimation, it doesn't.
Well,
so to me, the question is whether or not it is in lieu of, and it's compensation that is then either pensionable or not pensionable. It's not pensionable.
But Cicera said it was.
It's already been determined it is pensionable
by Cicera
and Santa Ramon Valley Fire.
The item today is...
Oh, that's not in question.
Not us questioning if the item is pensionable or not. We're just going through our process to say this could be an enhancement where you would have a pensionable item that shows up just in your final average salary period.
Let me just add one other quick thing. It is not up to the individual district, any of the ones that Cicera deals with, to determine whether or not something is pensionable or not. That is not a determination they make. Cicera makes that determination.
I guess it was verified by San Ramon Valley Fire through Cicera that it is pensionable for legacy employees. How's that?
Okay, Jerry, then Harvey.
Yeah, Scott. Scott, just a clarification to me. It seems to me, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, there are 10 employees currently that are in this same position in his fire district. He is the first, so this is the very first one to come before us to be discussed. Is that much true?
10 have participated. 7 are currently utilizing the program.
And I'm the first, only one to retire under it with it?
Correct.
Yeah, this is the first one to retire under it.
Right.
With it in the final average salary period.
Right.
The
yeah. Other, yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Okay. That's helpful to me. Whether or not it's compensation tenable, I'm going to, for me, so you know where I stand, and I'm always doing this, because I feel like the beneficiary should know what I represent when I'm talking. I feel like this is a compensation earnable deduction, earnings, because it was presented by his employer as such. I am leaning towards the other side, opposite Jerry, with seeing it as compensation earnable. It's been presented, it's known, and when I was working, as Will stated earlier, when I came, 2 years before I was going to retire, I knew what was pensionable and what wasn't. And the second to last year, the Ventura decision was made for me when I retired. I knew every deduction. I mean, I knew everything I could add to my final average salary before I retired. And when I went to the retirement office and talked to them, I knew what I was going to get when I retired. I don't see that as anybody trying to manipulate the system. I see that as somebody trying to make sure they know what they're going to be living on for the rest of their lives. And so and this issue, is to me, since it was stated by the employer to the employee that it is compensation earnable, it is earnable. And I understand his presence of saying it's a business. It was a business proposition to me. If I could get $300 a month from my employer and go on to my wife's insurance and save probably $600 or $700 by doing it as well, I would do it. So for me, I'm seeing his compensation earnable, and that's why. Thank you.
Harvey?
I'd like to assist the board in just understanding the standard that you're looking at here under the law. What Jerry Tellis just related was the law when Jerry Tellis retired, but was changed in this law. In this law, the legislature said that something that is pensionable compensation can still be ruled out on certain bases. So that was a big change from what Jerry just told us was the law that was before. So what this law said was that you can look at pensionable compensation, and if it was paid in the final comp period to enhance the benefit, that's what you look at. The phrase "to enhance the benefit" does mean that you look at subjectively what the intent was. And that's just what the legislature wrote in there. It told the boards that you need to look at a behavior change at the end of the career to see whether something that had been received normally in kind in the ordinary course of someone's career at the very end was converted to cash, and make a judgment as to whether that was intended, paid to enhance. That's a statement of intent, a purpose, with a purpose to enhance the benefit. What Jerry Tellis just told us was that the law previously was indeed, you could load up in the final comp period if it was in cash and get it. And that's what this law changed in 2013. So I am sorry that it does require the board to examine the subjective intent to look at what the purpose was. Was the purpose, and another easier example that always comes up is car allowances. Somebody can get a car from their employer to use their entire career. And then you see that suddenly in the last year, or final period, they decide to take the car allowance. What Jerry Tullis told us was that used to be okay because you knew that cash was going to increase your pension at the end of the career. Under this law, it may no longer be okay. It puts the burden on the board to say, why did you do that? Is there a plausible explanation for having done it? And Madam Supervisor and others have asked, you know, the chair has asked, did you do that because it, I mean, we're trying to figure out, is there a plausible reason that its purpose was not to enhance but was to save you money? That's okay. That sounds very intrusive, I admit. Looking at that subjective intent does sound intrusive, but that's what the legislature has said the board's responsibility is, to look at those career enhancements at the end of the career and ask that question. Did you have a rational reason otherwise for that career end behavior? Or was it, quote, to enhance your benefit? Again, I say, I'm sorry it's intrusive, but these questions that you're asking are completely legitimate under the state of the law that we're operating now. And that's been put a burden on this board to make these kind of judgments. That's why you get paid the big bucks.
Yeah.
Dr. McDonald?
So if he had been receiving this extra compensation for a three-year period, then it wouldn't really come on our radar. It's just that it hit very close to within a year. Before he actually retired. The plan was to retire in 2019. He was forced to retire early. If he was able to continue to work till 2019, we probably wouldn't even be having this discussion. So I think my opinion is we give him the benefit of the doubt and look at this as if he were going to continue working until 2019.
Tim? Can I just address the one? We would still review it. Under the type of compensation, it's a review is performed on it and would be assessed, and based upon those findings, it would be elevated to the deputy CEO, to the general counsel, compliance for review if we had questions on it. It would not have been just kind of a pass-through. We'd still look at the facts and circumstances for that type of compensation.
With that, I have...
I'm sorry. Okay. You'd look at it, but still it'd be like, okay, he's been getting it for several years. And, you know, it would have a different...
We'd look, yeah, again, facts and circumstances based upon what we have and what's provided to us.
And that occurs with every new retirement as well.
Yes.
It's not just certain. That occurs with every new retirement that we have.
Maybe I should have added that. That's a normal process. Yeah. When unusual or different things appear, they're elevated. You know, they're just not accepted. We have reviews, and I think we've discussed these previously with the board, I think at the June meeting, that we go through steps that we take to ensure we're consistent and following the policies the board has put in place.
Tim, what's the threshold again?
As far as the dollar amount?
Flagging a new retirement.
In this case, it was a new pay code, so it would just...
A new pay code within...
Within the FAST period.
Within the FAST period, correct. And we, you know, our normal is a three-year look back as well as we look at career, because we're going to calculate benefits on the highest FAST period, which may not necessarily be in the last year or in the last 3 years.
When was the, but he elected outside the FAST period, right?
Yes, it was a 15-month period. Okay. So it was January 1 of 16 with a March 30th, 17 retirement.
Okay, so can I just ask you a question? We've sort of been dancing around it, mm-hmm. And so this is the question. Did you take the $300 a month because you wanted to increase your final year salary as you led up to retirement, or was there a benefit for you and your spouse as you were figuring out your family finances?
I took the $300 a month because it was $300 a month on my paycheck, and it also saved the fire district somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000, maybe a little less than that, depending on which plan you take. So I viewed it as a win-win. I'm getting more money on my paycheck. They're saving tax dollars.
Okay, and that's all I need to hear. Thank you.
Rusty.
Also, may I add, Don Hale asked Tim Hoppe, had I joined this thing on inception, which I didn't know about it, I was off and injured. And it went, you know, he said, no problem. I wouldn't even question it. And it's like, had I gone to 2019, I'd have been into 3 years and plus. So,
right,
you know, it's problem solved.
Okay.
Well, I want to be sure I understand, though, whatever the motivation is, if they did it to save the district money or to enhance their retirement, does it matter? Because don't they have both options when they make that decision? Aren't they entitled to the enhancement as well as, you know, save their district money? So I'm not sure if that plays in. It's whether or not they did the last minute, and as into what we've been discussing here, they intended to spike in that FAS or final average salary and then come up. In this case, again, we have an argument here from the Benefits Community Network, and I suppose it's supported by what was submitted in the disability application, that it wasn't your intent to retire when you did, that you were forced
Correct.
Out because of your health.
Right.
That you might have continued to work on.
I would have.
2 years or whatever. And in that case, how would we have handled it when he retired in 2 or 3 years from now? Would we have treated it differently, or would we have treated it the same?
It would have been flagged. No,
it wouldn't have been flagged. It wouldn't have been an issue.
It would have been reviewed.
It would
still be reviewed because of the different pay type.
I would hope it would have been reviewed and just approved and not this big ordeal for future people coming through this. This seems like a tremendous amount of time and effort. I know they had attorneys looking at this, and it just seems like a tremendous waste of resources. In the meantime, guys are waiting 3-4 months to get their first paycheck from the system because it's bogged down, and I'm on the 8th month waiting for a disability approval so that I get granted a disability retirement, which clearly I'm going to get, but it's just, you know, the process is way too bureaucratic, and it takes up a lot of time and effort of CSERA employees.
Rick, how this is handled is this particular case, I can understand why you would think that.
Yeah.
But what if the next case is dealing with $2,000 a month or whatever? I mean,
yeah.
It's
well, ultimately, it's your guys' prerogative.
Going forward. So when these things come up, we have to to go through the process.
Did you have anything else to add, Mr. Cologne?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. I want to move to item 7C and see if San Ramon Valley Fire Protection District has a representative who wants to speak.
Good morning. My name is Natalie Corthamar Wong. I'm the HR director of San Ramon Valley Fire. I'll keep it very short. Our main interest is that we have a sustainable system for our employees. And for this decision, which I've shared, I think I've talked to Tim about, we are deferring to CSERA, so we're not taking a position on this. But our main position for the interest of our organization and for CSERA is just to ensure that we have a sustainable system moving forward.
Any questions from trustees?
I have a question. Just out of curiosity, and this doesn't apply to my benefit as myself, but when an employee retires for, in terms of the medical portion that I brought up earlier, can they enable that medical after they retire? Or is it only at the time of application that they have to apply?
After as well. So they can opt out. When they retire, they can continue. They can opt in if they've opted out. Let's just say they retire and they're on the district's medical plan. They can, at a later date, choose to opt out.
Got it.
So it says it. We look at it at their time of retirement, whether they're eligible for that medical benefit. And if they're eligible, then at any point in retirement, they can make these changes.
Okay. Cool. Karen, did you have some? Oh, sorry.
I was going to say, would you define sustainable?
I want to make sure that our employees who are working today have a CSERA and a retirement that they can retire when they're ready to retire.
One way to define sustainable is sufficient assets to pay the benefits when they come due. What the not viewing this as being an enhancement would reduce those benefits going forward that would be available to make future payments. Is that sustainable? Is that the sustainable you're talking about?
I'll leave it to the board to decide what you consider sustainable.
All right.
Well, on that note, I mean, when you offered the opt-out program, did you have in mind that the $300 could become pensionable and could affect then, you know, the sustainability of the pension plan?
I can't speak to it because I was not with the district at that time, but I just looking at the facts, I see that the district did ask Sisera for an opinion, and we continue to do that. So whenever we have any other changes in our compensation or any new agreements with our labor group, we send it to Sisera to get an opinion whether or not that particular compensation would be considered compensation earnable.
So do you think, though, the district might reconsider offering, continuing to offer the opt-out program, knowing now that it may have this impact on their...
We will, of course, take all the facts under consideration, but it is, as you all know, the cost of medical is substantial. So for us to offer our employees and our retirees, and I will just clarify, for retirees as a single, it's $150. And for family, it's $300 in retirement. So it's different versus our active employees. It's $300, whether it's single coverage or family coverage. So just to clarify that.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that again?
Sure. Sorry. So for active employees, if they opt out, mm-hmm. it's $300, regardless of your plan choice. So if you're single or employee plus family, mm-hmm. for retirees, it's $150. If you're single coverage, it's $300 for family coverage. So it's just a slightly different amount. So we will take all of this under consideration like we do whenever we make any changes to our compensation.
All right. Thank you.
Karen.
Quick question. Who is the Benefits Communication Network?
They're not related at all to the district. We're not connected to them. We don't work with them. I have no connection to them. It's a company I think our employees use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else for San Ramon Valley? Okay. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 7D, public comment. Is there any comment from the public here in Concord? Seeing none, is there any public comment in San Diego?
No. No public presence for comment.
Thank you. Item 7E, then, is board deliberations and appropriate action. Yes, David.
I move that in the case of Mr. James Colon, that the opt-out pay that he received be deemed compensation earnable.
I'm sorry, can I just clarify? The decision for the board today is whether that compensation was paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit, not whether or not it's compensation earnable.
To rephrase that.
So it's
so I'll change my. I move that that the compensation received was not. The compensation received should not be excluded from his final average salary.
No.
Was or was not paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit. I think you mean to say that it was not paid to enhance the member's retirement benefit.
And should be included.
Yeah.
Is that your motion?
I move that the compensation, opt-out compensation that Mr. James Colon received was not made to enhance his final average salary in the effort to, no, in the effort to increase it. Just leave it like that. Okay, good. All right.
There we go.
Yay.
There's a motion on
I'll
the floor.
Second.
And then, just to be clear, and then it should be included in his pension, correct?
No, I just the only question is,
was this is an abuse or not?
It, I'm saying no.
It's sufficient as is, but yeah. That addition
clarifies.
Yeah. Okay. As well.
I was essentially reading what the recommendation was in the packet. So.
Okay.
And I'll second it.
Yes. And the second is coming from Trustee Tullis offsite. Board discussion on the motion. So I'll make a comment. I totally understand where this feels very intrusive and everything, but I'm an accountant by training, and so I'm looking at the numbers, and the numbers just aren't making sense to me. We have a member who is getting a full family benefit for $150-ish, and now he's going to switch to a plan with a school district and get $300 from him. So now he's getting $450 net gain to him. Then when he retires, he immediately goes off. So for the numbers to work, I have to believe that insurance was what he's paying off to the school district for full family coverage falls between $300 and $450. Otherwise it'd be in his interest to keep the $300.
When you retire, you don't have to pay the $150-something. Coverage.
No, I get it. So that's what I'm saying is the break for it being something you want to do in service is $450. Now when you retire, not paying that $150 anymore, so you stand to get $300, but you're choosing not to get that. So the only way that both items are true is if what you're paying the school district, it falls between $300 and $450. You have to believe that to be true, and I've heard nothing offered.
Some other things in my personal life that are none of your business with my wife,
that's
not going to be divulged to you.
And I'm not asking. I'm saying as a trustee, this is the information I have that I have to base my decision on, and so I do not support the motion.
I do support the motion, and to counter what you're saying, Todd, is you're basing a decision solely on the cash value, and at the time the member would realize that. First off, maybe they made a mistake. Who knows? Whatever it may be, I know from personal experiences that my wife stayed with her insurance because of medical reasons, because she had a doctor and we wanted to keep that doctor. So I'm not gonna start asking questions in that regard down to the penny. Of you know what's the net difference of you know what their choice was. What I'm looking at is they took the benefit of the option that was provided to them by the district, and it is clear and that he did go in for a retirement estimate, which all employees do, almost all employees. I know in the fire service a lot of employees do towards the age of 48, 49, and 50. And a retirement date has to be put down on that to generate the estimate.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not reading into that at all. And it's clear he has a service-connected disability application essentially in 2017, I think, is when he left work. And he had plans to retire to the age of, till 2019. I mean, at some point we have to take the employee's word on some things. I mean, it's clear that he was forced out for medical reasons. I don't know the details behind the service-connected disability. This is the San Ramon Fire Valley. San Ramon Valley Fire is receiving a benefit in not paying for medical insurance, so they're paying the $300. The unfunded accrued actual liability, I think, my guess is for a $300 payment is probably much less in the net of what they're paying medically per employee. I don't know, but that's the decision they made, and it's pensionable. They're making contributions on it, so I think that I support. Dr. McDonald's motion completely.
Candace?
Okay, and I'm going to end up supporting the motion, and here's the challenge. In a perfect world, this $300 would not be pensionable, just simply because it is for the medical benefits, but the fact of the matter is it is pensionable. Someone legally was offered this. They took it. I'm not hearing testimony that overwhelmingly makes me think it was only done to increase their pension. And so I've got to support the motion.
Any other trustee comments?
I'm going to oppose the motion. I think that I don't want to see us get wrapped up, inevitably, I guess we are, in Mr. Colon's personal situation. I don't want to be wrapped up in a personal situation. And but I do think that a decision it appears to have been made. I'm not sure I wouldn't have made the same decision. It appears to have been made to take the cash, fine, and partially on the basis of apparently a conclusion that it was going to be pensionable. And so that's part of the decision, that this is also pensionable income. I get cash, and it's also pensionable. It turned out then that this board is then called on to make a determination as to whether or not it was pensionable, and or whether or not that step, whether that step actually was done intentionally to also increase the pension at the end of his career. And I'm satisfied that it was done. I'm not saying it was done nefariously. I'm just saying as a practical matter, it was done to some degree to hopefully increase his pension. He consciously made that decision to do it. So I don't support the motion.
Rusty.
I support it only because I don't see where, again, Mr. Colon has done anything improper. It's just bad luck on his part that he's had to retire sooner than he had planned. You know, and again, I question the remaining seven and their intentions. You know, maybe they're doing it for the same reason Mr. Colon is probably doing it, is for both, to enhance his retirement and to save money now. And is that wrong? You know, I don't see where we're saying it's wrong in the law. You know, he did what he thought was best business sense to do for himself and his family. And again, it's unfortunate his retirement was cut short, and it appears that he purposely was spiking his FAS, but I don't believe that was the case for him. I just think it's an unfortunate situation. So I'm ready to support the decision or the move.
Dr. McDonald.
Yeah, I don't see this as a spiking situation. I mean, even if you're offered a different job at a higher income, one of the reasons why you want to take that job is because your base will go up and your pension will be better. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'd like to do that job, and the other benefit is my pension will be better. And he was offered a opportunity to improve his monthly income by a small amount, but also encouraged because it would help benefit the employer with respect to their costs. I don't see this as a black and white situation with respect to that. I think there was some sense of, yeah, this can help down the road with my pension and so forth. Okay, fine. But I don't see how it puts him in that situation where we've dealt with other individuals who have manipulated the system in other ways with the 100% intention of just, I'm going to move this to spike my pension.
That's it. I just got to respond to one thing. I question whether or not any employee ever makes that kind of a decision on the basis of altruistic motives, that it's going to somehow save their employer money. I'd be willing to bet that that's never entered the minds of any individual.
No.
So let's be honest about that.
John?
With David bringing up spiking, one of the things we haven't talked about is the value